Welcome to the Father's Day. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. You can support the Father State by going to thefatherstate.tv/donate or locals.com. And thank you in advance. I have with me today Angela Stanton King. And she is an author, TV personality, and the founder of the nonprofit organization Auntie Angie's House. Welcome.
Thank you for
having me. I appreciate
you
coming.
It's a pleasure.
So are you as tough as you are, as you seem to be on our shows? I've seen you on.
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what made you tough?
Just my life. I just grew up, you know, in circumstances where you had to be tough. You know, you had to fight in order to survive. And, you know, then I ended up, you know, spending some time in prison. And you got to be tough in order to survive prison. And then you get released from prison and you got chains on you that aren't made of metal, and you got to be tough when you get released from prison. And then you're a mom and you got to raise kids. You got to be tough. Okay. To be an American, you got to be tough. Okay. So I'm just tough.
And so you grew up like fighting and stuff like that in school and all that?
I was a very combative child that I had at an early age. And I wrote about all of this in my national, not that book, but my first book, Lies of a Real Housewife, which made me a national best-selling author. I wrote about some of the sexual abuse I had endured as a child by a family member. And, you know, I think back then, that's kind of during those times when, you know, they swept everything up under the rug, you know, for the sake of kinship and family. And so I think some of that inner suffering contributed to making me this warrior that I am today.
And so you were angry growing up. You grew up angry because of those things that happened and other things.
I think I wouldn't use the word angry, but I'll accept it.
And why wouldn't you use the word angry?
Because I don't know if it was just angry or just being a victim of circumstance or a product of your environment.
Oh, I see. And so did you grow up, did you have a father and mother in the home?
Not in the home, but I did have a father and a mother. They were separated.
And were you close to your father or your mother?
When I saw him, I lived with my mother for most of my life, but I did spend quite a lot of time with my father in my early years, on the weekend, summer vacation, things like that.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And why, if you can say, why were you in prison? Did you ever, first of all, let me ask, like when you were being all tough in high school and all that, did you imagine you would go to prison one day?
Of course not. I mean, you know, when we all get asked that question when we're kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I don't know anybody that says, I want to, go to prison.
Yeah,
okay?
I want to be an inmate one day.
Right. There are things that happen that put you, you know, we talk about this path to prison. There are things that happen during life that can put you on a path to prison. And I definitely believe, and I explain this, you know, in Lies of a Real Housewife, that the sexual abuse that I endured definitely contributed to the lifestyle that I live, which eventually led me to prison. And I take full responsibility for my actions. And I'm reformed now.
Amazing.
Yes.
And so you had a baby in prison.
I did. I went to prison for a nonviolent crime. It was called title fraud and conspiracy. And while in prison, I learned that I was pregnant. And of course, I was pressured every single day to get an abortion, because if you're in prison, you're a ward of the state. So everything falls on them. Right. So it's easier for them to pay a $400 abortion ticket than a $30,000 birth bill at a hospital. So, of course, I was, you know, encouraged to abort. But for some reason, I just couldn't do it. And I ended up, you know, going through that pregnancy while incarcerated. And then when it came time to me giving birth, I was chained to a bed with a sheriff watching.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. And so did you get pregnant in prison, or you were pregnant when you went to prison?
No, I was already pregnant.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. It was bad timing. Good timing, though, because my daughter is truly a blessing.
Really?
Yes.
And so, once you had the baby, you stayed in prison for a minute?
So once I had the baby, 24 hours after I gave birth to her, they gave her to my mother. And we know in America, they don't even take a puppy from a dog for at least 6 weeks.
Right.
So 24 hours after birth, she was given to my mother. I was sent back to an overcrowded prison, given a mat to sleep on the floor. And when she was 6 months old, My mother died of a massive heart attack, and she went to my grandmother. And when she was 12 months old, my grandmother died of a massive heart attack, and she went to my aunt. And when she was 18 months old, I was released, and I came home. And today, she is in her third year at MIT after winning the Harvard International Debate Championship.
Amazing. And so are you guys close?
Of course. I raised her completely throughout the rest of the 10 year of her life. She's my baby. And I think with her, because she was my youngest, by the time I had experienced all of that stuff in prison, I was a totally different person. So she definitely got the best of me.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
And so the Great White Hope pardoned you, Donald
that
Trump.
That him, the racist.
I know.
Pardon an old poor little black woman like me so I can reclaim my life and start over again. Not only did he give me a full and unconditional pardon, but he also made it illegal for them to chain women to the bed during childbirth. And then he passed the First Step Act. And then I walked in a list of 100 names of people that needed to be freed. And he freed several of those people before he left office. And these people are trying to convince me that I'm supposed to vote for the black woman who locked everybody up instead of the white man who freed everybody.
What a mess.
A mess.
Oh, when they call Donald Trump a racist, what do you think about that?
I feel like that's the kind of racism we need.
Yeah.
If you know, if we have to deal with racists, because one of the things I learned from working with, you know, Robert F. Kennedy was that, you know, racism is something we're never going to get rid of. Okay. It's just something that's going to always be there. But, you know, we do business with racists all the time. I think black America is looking for some type of emotional attachment to the United States when really it needs to be a business attachment. Because when you go get your nails done at the Asian salon, they don't like you. They talking about you. When you go get gas at the Indian-owned gas station in your communities, they don't like you. They're talking, but you're still giving them your money. And so for this man who they claim is such a racist, who not only gave me a fresh start, gave Kwame Kilpatrick a fresh start, gave Alice Marie Johnson a fresh start, you know, pardoned Kodak Black, Lil Wayne, housed Jennifer Hudson, you know, when her family was murdered, went to court with Michael Jackson every single day, gave $1 million to Jesse Jackson to start the Rainbow Push Coalition. And I don't see him, you know, showing up to the DNC in Chicago with an abortion Hot Wheels bus offering black women abortion. So if I have to deal with racism, give me the racism that's going to let niggas out of jail.
That's right. What the? Amazing.
I'm just being honest.
And so you said that you take responsibility for the stuff you have done.
Of course.
And why do you take responsibility for it?
Because I could have made better decisions. And I have to take responsibility for it because nobody put a gun in my head and made me do anything. Although I was caught up in this complicit government scheme and ended up telling my story and getting sued by Phaedra Parks and L. Linwood and B.J. Bernstein for $30 million when I didn't even have 30 cents to my name. But God told me to tell my story, and he sent me an attorney that represented the case for me pro bono for 4 years, and I eventually won that case. But in reality is that although I was a part of that, I still willingly played my role, which is why, you know, I went and did my time, and I never chose to be a snitch.
And so you take responsibility. What caused you to do the things you've done?
Bad decision making.
And why would you, do you make your own decisions?
Do I make my own decisions? Yeah. Of course I make my own decisions.
And how do you make decisions?
Well, you have to learn how to make the right decisions.
But how do you
thinking do that? Thinking is a skill. Well, for one, you have to be reformed. It depends on your level of education. It depends on your environment, for one, because a lot of people make decisions based off of the environments that they're in. A lot of crimes are crimes of survival. So if you have a single mother who is in and out of trouble, who has a bad record, who has an issue with getting employment, but she has mouths to feed, 9 times out of 10, you know, she's going to do something illegal to take care of her children. Just like the illegal immigrants crossing the border, right? They don't give a damn if crossing the border is legal or not. They're searching for a better life. So we actually have American citizens. You know, there are some women that I was incarcerated with, you know, for forgery, and fraud, for writing bad checks, just trying to keep groceries on the table.
Amazing.
So that's why criminal justice reform is such a big thing.
I want to come back to something, but let me ask. When you heard that Donald Trump, the great white hope, was pardoning you and you were getting out of, were you expecting that? How did you find that out? And how did he come to know you existed?
I actually was, that's a two-part question. Yeah. How he came to know me, if we back up a little bit, which is what this book is about, King Trump Kennedy.
And we're going to be showing you, telling you about this book in a minute.
Yeah, when I got out of prison and I had lost my mother and grandmother, I was homeless and had nowhere to go.
Right.
So I ended up at a women and children's crisis center looking for help. And the woman that was behind the desk that day was Alveda King.
Oh, okay.
And from that day, I had worked with her. She'd given me a job and I had been up under her wing for like the last 15 years working with her and her family on community restoration. And of course, she already had a relationship with Trump.
Right.
So when Trump's initiative was criminal justice reform, she asked me if I would go in and share my story with him. And at first I wasn't going to go because I thought he was a racist. But I prayed about it and I had to take myself out of my emotions. And I had to realize that this man had the key to help so many people that I had left behind. And if I could just step out of my emotions for a moment and go share my story with this man, you know, maybe God would touch his heart and something change could really happen. And that's exactly what happened. And I don't regret one moment of it.
So were you already out of jail when he pardoned you?
Yeah. I had been released since 2005. So my pardon was well deserved. I had done a lot of community service work, had gone back to school, got my bachelor's in psychology, completely turned my life around, started my own publishing company, started a nonprofit organization to give back to the community. So it wasn't a pardon of favor. It was a pardon that was well deserved.
Oh, I got you. And so for the record, you are the goddaughter to Alveda King.
I am.
The niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I am.
Amazing. And so you said you take responsibility for the things you have done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you made your own decisions.
Of course.
Right. And do you create your own thoughts?
I would say I do.
And how do you create your own thoughts?
How would you create your own thoughts?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
No, I'm asking you.
No, but I'm asking you because that sounds like that question for one. How would you create your own thoughts? Like, I like to deal in common sense, right?
Right.
We think, right, to create a thought, right? It's something that begins in our brain, okay, with an idea, with a decision or whatever, right? And to me, it kind of reminds me of some of the cartoons I used to watch when I was little. And, you know, you have the devil on this side and you have the angel on this side. And it comes time to make a decision. And you might hear a voice over here saying, hey, do this. You might hear a voice over here saying, hey, do this. All decisions, I believe, are based off of that moment.
And if you create your own thoughts, why would you create thoughts that would make you feel bad, make you feel afraid, or cause you to do the things you didn't want to do? Why would you create those kind of thoughts if you created your own thoughts?
How would I know?
If you
based off of unless I've had a life experience, how would I know something's gonna make me feel bad? How would you know to make the right decision if you haven't been taught corrective thinking?
But when you, if you're the, just think about this. If you're creating your own thought, that means you're sitting back, coming up with your own thought, you would see the thought that you are creating, and you would never create thoughts that would make you do or feel bad or do anything bad.
It depends on that moment. Like,
create all good thoughts?
It depends on that moment.
Meaning like what?
What's a good thought? Like, if just say, for instance, if there was a school shooting and God forbid one of my children happened to be the victim, what's a good thought? Me? Because I'm not Trayvon Martin's parents. Like, it wouldn't have been no Skittles festival if it was my kid.
Yeah.
So what do you mean when you talk about thoughts are based off of the moment and the circumstance that you're in? And I don't think any of us throughout life have always made the right decision.
Throughout life, there's no one who has ever made the right decision nor the wrong decision.
Right.
We don't make decisions.
Oh.
Decisions are made on our behalf, and because we identify with it, we think that we're making a decision, but we have never made a decision.
Oh, okay.
What do you think about
that? So I've never made a decision.
You have never made it. It's impossible for you to make your own decision.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I'm listening.
Yeah. Something else made it for you in your imagination. But because when you were traumatized, you identified with the imagination and you thought it was you making those decisions, but it was never you. Human beings don't make decisions.
I've always, you know, learned to try to be in control of your own thought.
Right, but you can't.
Oh, okay.
Because your thoughts are not your own.
Okay.
That's why God said bring every thought into captivity, because your thoughts are not your own, and they're not his thoughts. And so we're not supposed to believe thoughts. We're not supposed to live by the imagination. We're supposed to live by the voice of what is right. Mm-hmm. But all of us think that we are our thoughts, and that because we've been traumatized and we escaped into the thoughts. But like Paul in the Bible said, "My it won't let me do right. It always made me do the things I don't want to do, but it won't let me do the things I want to do." So I realize it's not me, but it's something else that's driving me. And so he had to understand that so he can get away from thinking and be led by the light, by the truth of God. Mm-hmm. We're not in control of anything. You would never have made a thought, created a thought that would hurt you. You know what I mean?
Right.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I'm gonna think about that after I leave here. I'm gonna give that some thought, and I'm gonna give it some research, because I want to know, like, when we talk about Jesus and the 12 disciples, what led Peter to cut that man ear off? Because if I'm rolling with the disciples, right, I'm definitely Peter. I'm going to cut the ear off, right? But Jesus picked it up and put it right back on.
Right.
Right? So I'm gonna think about what you're saying a little more after the show.
Peter wanted to cut his ear off.
Because
he was in his thoughts, too.
Right.
He was into his ego. That's why Christ said, hey, don't do this. Because when you're of what is right, it's impossible to hate your enemy or anyone. So you would never do anything to hurt your enemy. Because you would know that just like you are not in control of yourself, they are not in control of themselves until they return to the Father. Mm. Do you have anger?
Probably.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
You have anger?
And love and happiness and joy. I experience all emotions. You can't have both. I can have them all, depending on the moment.
Why don't you, and why are you holding on to anger? Why don't you drop anger?
I'm not angry right now. You could make me angry, though.
But why not let anger go and be free of anger?
I'm free of anger
You're
in this
Christian,
moment.
Right?
I'm free of anger in this moment. Even Jesus got upset. He went in flipping tables. He said, you have turned my Father's house into a house of thieves. It's okay to be angry. He said, be angry, yet not sin. That's what the word says.
Do you? So you believe that Jesus had the same anger that human beings have? The emotional anger?
I don't know what he had. I'm based off of the word. If we're talking about what's in scripture, right?
Right.
So I think that anger is an emotion, and no, you shouldn't hold on to it. But again, it depends on the moment.
Have you, do you believe it's possible to live an angry-free life?
In a moment?
No, period.
I mean, it depends.
Because Christ said that anyone that has anger is a murderer, and that we should not trust an angry person. So if he's against it, he said that he does not give you the spirit of anger, right? And so if he's against it, why do human beings think that it's okay to have it?
I mean, because we're not living in heaven right now.
Why not?
Satan is the ruler of this world.
Right.
Right? Okay, yeah. These soft, what would Jesus do, turn-the-cheek Christians, that's over with. Like, we out here really slaying demons right now, okay? We are dealing with, Trump has had 3 assassination attempts on his life. My pregnancy home, the first one that we had, was burnt down to the ground, okay?
Why?
This is not a day and day. I'll ask Antifa, somebody. I didn't do it.
Oh, they never didn't catch the people that did it?
No, but what I'm saying is we're not in a day of age where we can just turn the other cheek. Now, if y'all want to do that, that's fine, right?
Right.
And we see where that has gotten us, right? But we're in the middle of a real spiritual battle right now. And this one is not for the meek and the mild. And if I'm wrong for saying that, then God, please correct me. But that ain't who he called me to be during this season.
All right. I have so much I want to talk to you about, but let me ask. You don't believe that you can live in the kingdom of heaven now?
I don't believe that I am living in the kingdom of heaven now.
Do you believe it's possible?
When I pass, possibly. But right now, in this existence, in this reality that we're living in, where these people are getting ready to vote on November 5th to kill babies, this is not heaven. This is not the one that I read about in the book, right?
And so you don't believe that you can live in the kingdom of heaven right now? Or do you believe you have a
winner
until you
die? Well, the word says to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ.
Right.
I'm still in the body.
And so you don't believe it's possible to live in the kingdom of heaven right now?
I believe it's possible to ascend. I believe it's possible to be divinely connected. But am I living there right now? No, I'm not.
What do you mean by you believe it's possible to ascend? What does that mean?
Well, you could have dreams and you could have visions. Okay. Oh. And you could experience, okay, heaven, and you could experience those places. But as far as living there, am I living in heaven right now? I would say no.
And do you believe it's possible to live in the kingdom of heaven right now?
I think you asked me that about 8 times and I said no.
And why don't you believe that?
Because it's not a reality.
But God said the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now, and that we can live in the kingdom of heaven while we live.
Well, if this is heaven, and they cutting little boys' dicks off and killing babies all the way up until full term, then what do we expect after this?
Where is the kingdom?
You tell me.
You don't know where it is?
Because it ain't here.
But it is here, and it's in you. It's above, too. But it's inside. The kingdom of heaven is within, right?
Okay.
And then when we return to the Father, we enter that kingdom, and we can live that life right now before we die. We don't have to wait. Matter of fact, there's no such thing as death anyway except for the ego death.
Okay, death to the flesh.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, it's not death to the flesh. It's death to the ego. Mm-hmm. The flesh is going back to death. But we'll get into all that later.
Okay.
But that's interesting, right?
I mean, I hear you.
Is it food for thought?
Not really.
Is it something to smoke on?
It ain't clicking.
Oh, it's not?
It ain't clicking. It's not, but I'll study it.
Okay.
Okay.
What's important to you?
Saving babies.
Saving babies from abortion?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do in your organization, right?
Yep.
And why is that so important to you?
Because I believe that God has a purpose for every life that he creates. And I believe that someone has to be a voice for the unborn. And I believe that every abortion is a tragedy. And I'm educated to understand that abortion is black genocide. I'm aware of the fact that 20 million black lives have been aborted since the passing of Roe v. Wade. I'm also educated on the fact that Roe v. Wade was legalized off of a lie, Norma stating that she was raped by 4 black men. That never happened. I'm also educated on the fact that
she apologized. She came back later, right? And said she was wrong about that.
She did.
Yeah.
She also never had an abortion. I'm also educated on the fact that they have strategically placed 80% of their abortion clinics in black communities while there are no abortion clinics at the border.
Yeah.
And
Margaret Sanger started this whole thing.
And we are asleep, and God has blessed me to be able to intervene in the lives of over 80 babies to this day that I've saved. And those babies are going to grow up and have babies. And we're not just saving blood babies. We're saving bloodlines. We're saving entire generations. And I think that if Satan had been successful in taking me out, then I wouldn't even been here to save those 80. So I think that every life has value and every life has a purpose. And that is my purpose, to bring back the value of life in the black community.
And when you say that, do you work with all women with their abortions, or predominantly black?
I work with all women, and I believe that all life matters. However, if they can specifically target black women for abortion, then I can specifically target black women for life.
Right. And so when you say you saved the lives of the babies, meaning that these women had considered having abortion, but they met you and they heard about you and they changed their mind. What's the two things? What's the reason they decided to do it, and why did they change their mind?
Well, a lot of women are having abortions simply because they feel like they don't have support. It's not about rape or incest. Rape or incest is only 1% of abortion. A lot of women feel like they don't have support. They don't have family support. They don't have anywhere to go. They don't have the necessary training or education that they need in order to get a job, to be financially stable, to take care of a child. And these are things that, can be addressed, and these are things that can be worked out. And I know this because of my own story. When I left prison and had to raise my children and start all over again, but I was able to do it. And now I'm able to see the fruit of my labor. Now I'm able to see, you know, the blessing that the enemy wanted to trick me to abort. And I think that at the end of the day, like, why are we encouraging women to abort? Because of poverty.
And so some of the women who have had abortion, I mean, didn't have the abortion after, so you helping them. Do you know if any of them had abortions later?
I don't. I don't think they...
Once you help them, you don't see them anymore?
No, I do. I actually keep in touch with a lot of them. Okay. I'm a godmother to all of my babies. So some of my babies are going on 12, 13, 14 years old. I've been doing this work for a very long time. And it's about the mindset, helping them restore the value of life, right? Letting the mother know that it is a baby. It's not a clump of cells, and that our children are a blessing. Right. Because for some reason now in this current atmosphere, if you talk about somebody being pregnant or they in school or whatever, everybody has an excuse to abort the baby.
Yeah.
And that's just not an era that I'm from. And I just believe that the enemy is tricking a lot of these women into aborting their blessings. Like, my children have grown up to be blessings to me, not burdens.
I know that there's so-called civil rights leaders. They don't seem to care about the abortion issue when they're supposed to be the leaders, and they're not, but they're supposed to be the leader of the blacks, you know, they part of the so-called civil rights movement, all that. Why don't they care about abortion? They know that Margaret Sanger...
Because abortion is convenient, and they ain't no better than the KKK. Like, I cannot understand how you are sitting up here blaming white people for racism, but you can't wait to go abort your own black baby.
Right.
You are the creators of black life. You're demanding that everybody value black life except the black people that create it. It's an absolute shame, and it's hypocritical, and it's something to laugh at. And I think that's been one of the biggest realizations for me and, you know, leaving the Democrat Party, which the majority of my family is involved in, coming over to the Republican Party, and then going over into the independent side. But March for Life, like, every time I attended a March for Life, it was one of the most beautiful, painful experiences that I've ever had. Because I always have to answer for black people. Because me and my godmom and maybe one or two other people, there are only four black people standing in a whole sea of nearly 30,000 white people fighting for their race, fighting for their children. And they're asking me, where is everybody at? Like, why don't they care? Y'all don't care about your babies. You don't care about your future. So I'm on this side because I do a lot of work with the Republicans, and my work is to advocate for disadvantaged communities that I come from. And on this side, I'm hearing them ask those questions about why we don't value black life. And then on this side, I'm hearing them tell me that Republicans are racist. Well, you're blaming them for racism, but you don't value black life either. And I mean, it's just like, I just think black life just doesn't have any value on any
side.
What
do you say when they ask you, where are the blacks? You know, why don't we have more blacks in these rallies? What do you say?
It's hurtful. Oftentimes it brings me to tears, to be honest with you, because I'm standing on this side and I'm with 30,000 white people. And then I look on that side and it's 30,000 black people on that side fighting against us.
Right.
And I'm like, when was this ever a part of our civil rights? Like, how do we go from fighting to be free to fight and to kill our own children for convenience and blaming white people? Your babies because white people are racist.
Why is it that way? You're right about it. Why is that?
Because I think it reminds me a lot of slavery. Like, we had to fight to get slavery overturned. It was once ruled. They didn't look at us as being completely human. And I think that with the babies and the abortion issue, it's just a miseducation. They said it was a clump of cells. It's not a baby. You know what I'm saying? I think that the truth needs to be told. I think that anybody considering abortion should be forced to watch the abortion procedure before. We just need to restore value to life. And these women, unfortunately, have been liberated with this choice. They want to be so free. Oh, women's rights. Yeah. But like, don't you have to be born to become a woman, right? Like, how are you voting for the women's rights that execute the women of tomorrow? And because Black people are so emotional, they're more concerned with the seven men taking away their right to kill their children than they are with the seven white Supreme Court men that gave them the right to kill their children. And they're just caught up in this word of choice, not even understanding that they're choosing death for our own race, for our own bloodlines, for our own children, and it has to stop.
I mentioned earlier I'm from Alabama. I grew up in Alabama on a plantation down there in Alabama. And I remember before the civil rights movement ever started, Black people were independent thinkers. They had no Black leaders. Even the Black preacher, he just can preach the Bible, but he didn't tell them how to think. The parents were the example for the children, my grandparents, my parents. And there was no such thing as far as I know, Black leaders. But then an abortion was unheard of. Mm-hmm. Even if a woman got pregnant and she was not married, she would have to go out of town somewhere.
Right.
And you'd be like, where, Basil? Oh, no, she out of town. Come back with a baby because it was such an embarrassment to be pregnant. Then the civil rights movement started, which I think was the worst thing that ever happened to the Blacks, other than abortion. The civil rights movement, because I noticed that when that whole thing started, not all, but most of the Black people stopped thinking for themselves, and they started following the ideas of the so-called civil rights leaders. Do you think it was a mistake for the Blacks to follow the so-called leaders?
I can't necessarily say that it's a mistake, because the way that I look at things now, I think that all these fights that they have are necessary, because like you were asking me earlier about, do I help all babies? Of course I help all babies, but let's just talk about this for a minute. When it comes to issues of medical apartheid, right, we know that there has been a target on the Black community, even with this issue that we're dealing with right now in this Black maternal health crisis, right? Like all of a sudden, Black women are dying from giving birth to their children, which is the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. It's almost like saying all the Black cows are dying or all the Black horses are dying. Like, you telling me I'm dying from the most natural thing, right? Every person is here because they were birthed. And so now we have this target on Black women, which is this Black maternal health crisis, and we have to fight back, right? Because here's the thing. If Black women are dying, like if you're telling me that I watched my grandmother birth 10 children in a barn with no doctor, no complications to none of that.
Midwives, right?
Right. Then now you're telling me that Black women dying from giving birth to one in the hospital after we just watched Octomom pop out 8 babies at one time with no complications. So then what that tells me is that if Black women are dying at these alarming rates, that it's intentional. Amazing. It's definitely not natural, because if Black women are just dying naturally from giving birth, then I expect to see all the damn Black dogs dying, the Black cats, the Black cows, the Black pig. It just when we go back to the common sense that God gave us, it does not make sense. So some of these fights are necessary because, unfortunately, you know, people of darker color skin are being systemically targeted for some things, which we know.
And so do you think that it was a mistake for the Blacks to start listening and following the so-called civil rights leaders?
Well, if I take what they're fighting for now, I have to 100% agree with you, because our civil rights movement now is no longer about what I was taught it was about. I was taught it was about our freedom. It was about equality.
Right,
now
right.
What it's about LGBTQ,
yeah.
And it's about abortion, right? These things have nothing to do with what they were originally fighting for.
Yeah.
They were fighting against segregation. They were fighting against discrimination. They were fighting for equal treatment. They were not fighting to cut their sons' dicks off or fucking abort their children.
Can we be saying that on the show?
I don't know. Y'all can cut it. But what I'm saying is y'all can bleep it or whatever. But we have to be honest. The civil rights movement of today is not what it was 30, 40 years ago. The Democrat Party of today is not what it was 30, 40 years ago. The laws of today are not what they were 30, 40 years ago. And I think my biggest concern is that the black community as a whole is more focused on racism than anything else. And while we are focused on a racist or who's a racist, like it even damn matters, our children are under attack.
Yeah, it's a mess. Let me ask, so what are civil rights? I don't know what that is.
I think you do know what that is.
No,
and
I don't.
I think just sitting here asking me because you do shit like that. But you do know what civil rights is. But at the end of the day, we're all aware of what the civil rights movement is and why it was created. And again, like I told you, I think the meanings have changed. The civil rights that they fought for many years ago, today, I can't define to you what civil rights are because I'm not fighting for my sons to become women. I'm not fighting for women's rights. I'm not fighting for feminism. So you got to get somebody else up here and ask them to define that.
Do you believe that men should play in women's sports?
No.
It's not okay?
No.
And why not?
Because men are tough and men are strong. Okay?
Right.
And my body is not built like a man. My body is soft, okay?
I have
breasts, okay? Men usually have penises, things that get hard. I don't have anything on my body that gets hard. I didn't know penis was a bad word, but I don't have anything on my body that gets hard. I'm not built like a man.
So let me ask, should women be allowed to play a men's sport?
I mean, no. Yeah. It should be equal all the way across the
board.
But
I noticed that there is a fight to stop men from playing in women's sport, but not to stop women from playing in men's sport. Why is that?
Because women not winning none of those competitions. Because a woman is literally no competition for a man. A woman is not a threat to a man, but a man poses a threat to a woman. Any male transgender that has competed in a woman's competition, he is one. Name one female transgender that has won a man's competition. That shows you right there that it's not balanced.
So why aren't the women upset that women are trying to play in men's sport as they are with, because they're both wrong. Women should play in women's sport.
Why isn't there a loud outcry
that, hey, women should not only, men should not play in women's sport and women should not play in men's sport. Why isn't there an outcry about that?
I mean, I don't think I can speak for that because I don't agree with it. So I don't advocate for it. You know what I'm saying? I'm totally against the mixing or the confusing of sexes.
Yeah. Amazing. One thing I want to ask you is that I noticed that black men and black women have a difficult time coming together. Mm-hmm. As husband and wife or whatever, right? And why is it so hard for black men to deal with black women today?
I don't necessarily really have that problem because my mindset is different. Like every black man I run into loves me.
Are
like
you married?
I'm going through a divorce currently.
Oh, okay.
And he's black. I don't have that problem. I think my mindset might be a little different. I did experience, you know, having a father in the home, uncles, older brothers, stuff like that. I think my demographic is kind of a little bit different.
Right.
The way that I think is kind of a little bit different. But I think that our families have been systematically broken down. If we go all the way back to the insertion of welfare and even Section 8, right? Because it was a process of letting the government step in and forcing the man out. Right?
Right.
Section 8 will give you somewhere to stay, but the man can't be in the home. Welfare, you can only make a certain amount of money. So then we had the 94 crime bill by Joe Biden, which took a lot of people off of the streets, a lot of men off of the streets. So we've had a total breakdown of the black family, and this has been happening for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I think that we've been pitted against each other. We've had the feminist movement, which has made women believe that they're supposed to be strong and that they don't need a man. And they took that so far as not needing a man to now they think they the men. So I think is not something that just started yesterday. This has been going on for a long time.
Can it be rebuilt back to that order of God and Christ, Christ and man, man over woman and woman over children? Can that be put back together in the black?
I'm really just waiting on God to just hit the button and just blow this bitch up and just start all over again, because I just don't think there's no turning back, honestly.
Really?
I don't.
Then if you don't believe there's no turning back, why fight for anything?
Well, because I have to fight for life, because I'm alive and I've been given the right to life. Nobody that fights for abortion has ever been aborted, but we have all been given this right to life. That's one thing that I've experienced. That's one thing that I know that there's value in. That's one thing that I know no matter how bad it gets, you can make the best of it. Like, I am a living testament of making the best out of the worst. And life is something that I will fight for. Everything else, I think, is kind of out of my control. But every generation has to have a warrior. Like, we don't just give up. We don't stop fighting. Like, we know they're on the verge of legalizing pedophilia. Are we just going to give them our children? Like, you're going to have to fight me for these kids, right? Yeah. I don't know if you're going to win or not, but you're going to have to kick my ass to get to them. So we never stop fighting.
When you were married, did you obey your husband?
I don't think we had the type of relationship of obey. He never really told me what to do.
Oh, he didn't? Why not?
He wasn't a dictator. He wasn't someone that was like, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. We didn't have that type of relationship. He never gave me orders.
Were you disappointed that he didn't give you orders?
No.
Would you rather have had a man that would give you orders rather than just let you?
I don't even want a man that feel like he needs a woman that he has to give order to. Like, if you're not self-sufficient to know what you need to get up and do every single day in order to keep your house together, please your man, keep your family together. Like, what type of mindset do you have as a grown woman my age that you need a man to give you orders every single day? Like, what, we going into the military?
So you don't think... It sounds like you don't believe that a woman should obey her husband.
I mean, obey what?
Her husband.
What is he telling her to do? Give me an example.
Whatever he's telling her to do.
Give me an example. We're married. Give me some orders.
The situation would have to be happening in the moment, but let's you cooking and cleaning and stay at home and watching my children and do all those things.
I'm going to do that naturally as a woman. I don't need to be told to clean up my house.
But most women are not like that.
Yeah, I can't speak for them.
Should those women, would you recommend those women obey their husband?
I would recommend that those women already know what they're supposed to do.
But they don't know.
That's really unfortunate. That means we need to get back to educating our communities.
That's right.
And I wouldn't want my son with a woman that he had to tell what to do. Some things we should just know, especially when we come into the table and we're talking about marriage.
So when God said that the woman should obey her husband, he didn't know what he was talking about?
I'm not saying he didn't know what he was talking about, but again, we're talking about context, right? Like, what do you mean when you say obey? I've never had to be told to clean up or cook or take care of my kids.
And why is that?
Because I do it naturally.
Amazing. So your husband, when you were married, you and your husband got along because you did what you naturally supposed to do anyway.
Yeah, I don't think we ever had any fights.
Right on.
I never had one fight with my husband.
Amazing. A few minutes ago, you said that you had answered my question, and you said something about the way I asked you a question. What would you just say? Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you don't remember. I don't remember. Anyway, what is, do you believe in the order of God?
I do.
And what's that order?
God, husband, wife, children.
Right. God and Christ and man or woman. Mm-hmm. I noticed that most women, even Christian women, don't believe that now. Mm-hmm. What went wrong that they don't believe that now?
Feminism.
Oh, even in the churches?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You don't see it?
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, it's in there.
Should a woman be allowed to be a preacher?
You know, that's a tough one for me, because my mother was a preacher and a prophet, and I grew up in the church. That's why I keep slapping you with these Bible scriptures, right? So, I mean, that's a tough one to me. But isn't it in the New Testament, it said in the last days that all will be called to preach and prophesy and spread his word?
No.
It didn't say that?
No.
What's the scripture?
And it still didn't mean the woman.
What's the scripture exactly?
I don't remember.
Oh, so you telling me no, and you don't even know the scripture?
No.
Okay, so there is a scripture in the Bible that says in the last days, all, right, will preach and all will prophesy. And I think that God will use anybody. I consider myself to be somewhat of a preacher, if that's what you want to call it, because I preach God's word of life, but I'm not in a church house. So was she wrong for spreading God's message? That's something like I have to think about. I don't know.
I'm black and slow.
In the last days,
I'm black and slow.
Me too.
So I want to know, do you believe that women should be allowed to be preachers?
You keep asking me that. And again, that's a tough one for me. I can't answer that because I'm the daughter of a preacher and a prophet. So you put me in a tough bind. I believe anybody should be able to spreads God's message if they could save someone's soul, and I believe that God can use anybody, so I'll probably just leave that there.
Amazing. And do you believe a man should ever listen to a woman?
Yeah. Didn't God use Pilate's wife when they was getting ready to hang Jesus on the cross? God places women in the lives of their husbands, you know, to be helpmates, to help them make wise decisions. It's always a woman somewhere whispering in a man's ear.
So that's the problem.
It depends on what type of woman it is.
God said that to the man, and because you listen to the woman, you'll suffer.
Hey,
and
well,
have you noticed that every time the man listened to the woman, whether his mother, his wife, the female preacher, the teacher, every time the man listened to the woman, he suffers.
I can't say that.
Why not?
I think that's another one of those moment things. It depends on what it is. Because God could use me to, like, Robert F. Kennedy, right? I was one of his advisors. Did God know what he was doing? Well, I changed Kennedy's heart and his position on abortion. I convinced Kennedy to join teams with Trump and form the Unity Party. I mean, God will use anybody. That's just one of those in-the-moment questions.
Why do you think that God can do whatever he wants, right?
Exactly.
He can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that God doesn't stop abortion?
Man, do you know that is the question that I ask all the time? Because especially when I started working with RFK as his senior advisor, and everybody's like, he believes in killing babies, and what does this mean for Auntie Angie's house? And I'm like, why don't y'all ask God to stop abortion, right? Like, y'all beat me up and want me to stop abortion, and again, I had to realize, and I guess the little bit of clarity that I got from that was this preacher told me, he said, we are in Satan's territory. He said, Satan is the ruler of this world. He says, and Satan can't escape this place. He said, when we pass on, he said, we can leave here. He said, and Satan hates life. So if Satan is the ruler of this world, then therefore he is in control. Because I'm trying to figure out, why are these people still in power? I had a whole lot of questions for God. But you know how we was raised, you're not supposed to question him. So I'm going to just keep doing what he called me to do and move on.
So if God doesn't seem to be, he seemed to be okay with people having abortion, right? Because he could stop it if he wanted to.
He's not trying
to stop it. And so since God is not trying to stop it, why are you trying to stop it?
I think that I have the power of influence. And I think that God can use me to stop other people. He can use me to influence other people to make decisions. Again, God can use anybody. So then God does stop it in some ways if he uses people to intervene.
Amazing. You believe that racism exists?
Yeah.
And what is your proof that racism exists?
The black maternal health crisis, medical apartheid. The fact that ain't no abortion clinics at the border. and they had black communities across America.
That he'll prove that racism exists?
Yeah.
But nowhere does God say that racism exists. And so since God didn't say racism exists, he said that our battle is a, excuse me, our battle is a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
I don't remember God saying abortion exists either, and it does.
But he said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and with evil with your powers in high places, right? Wickedness. Mm-hmm. Why do you say racism exists when he said our battle is spiritual?
The same reason why I'm trying to fight to stop abortion and he ain't down here next to me with a sword.
But the battle, if people knew that it wasn't racism,
but that it was spiritual,
wouldn't they have a better chance to overcome it if they knew what the real problem was?
Well, first of all,
because
we
racism
gotta be honest.
Is like a made up word.
First of all, we got to be honest. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. I mean, we have people, whether you white or whether you black, that have those same racist tendencies. For some reason, when you white, they call it racism. When you black, they call it colorism, okay? But it's the same thing. And there are people that intentionally hate people because of the color of their skin. There are people that intentionally hate people because of their choice of political party.
So why not call it hate and not call it racism? Because if you call it what it is, which is hatred, and that's what it is,
well, racism
then
is
they can overcome. Hate. They can overcome
if
hatred.
If you hate somebody just because they black, you racist.
No, that's hatred.
If you hate somebody because you're black, I'm agreeing with you. It is hate. But if you're hating somebody just because of the color of their skin, then you are a racist.
But have you noticed that they made up the word racism so they can divide and conquer the people, right?
And they also
because
made...
Because prior to the Civil Rights Movement, there was no such word as racism.
But they also
it
made
was called
Planned Parenthood
good and evil.
And put them in our communities.
Made what now?
They also made Planned Parenthood and put
because
them in our communities.
Because they hate the blacks.
They racist.
But why call it something other than what God called it?
Why they call it men, women? I don't know why they do what the hell they do, but they doing it.
But amazing. Are you a Republican, you said?
Independent.
Oh, you're independent. Mm-hmm. Were you Republican at one time?
Mm-hmm.
And what made you go? You went from Democrat
to Republican to independent.
And why did you go from Republican?
All the hate I received when I accepted a job working for RFK from the Republican Party, all of the high-level Republicans that withdrew their support from Auntie Angie's house, I realized that they were more about party and were never about people. And I realized that they were just as hateful as the Democratic Party that I had just come from. And at the end of the day, we need to rise above these parties, focus on people, and focus on a policy that's best for us. So I never want to be in a space again where I can't work with people from my community because they're Democrat, or I can't work with people from my community because they're Republican. Because at the end of the day, politics is bipartisan. And when they're in there and they're in Congress and it's time for them to vote, everybody in there has to vote. Like, we have to come together. And being independent allowed me to work with Democrats and Republicans and actually sit down and have conversations and not hate each other and come up with solutions that work better for a diverse country.
So the Republican didn't like you because you were working with the save children from abortion? Are you no. saying that?
Well, what happened was people tied me to Trump because of the pardon. So when Trump gave me a pardon and he ran for office in his campaign, they weren't hiring for black engagement. And it was time for me to have a job. I had gotten a pardon. My name was cleared. It was time for me to step over into the next thing that God had for me. RFK offered me a job as a senior advisor on his campaign. And after about a month or so going back with Trump's campaign, I finally accepted the position from RFK. And when I did that, it made a lot of people upset. And they treated me very badly. And I didn't think that that was fair because, you know, yeah, he gave me a pardon, but I can't survive, you know, off of photo opportunities. I have to work. I have to have a job. And RFK was a friend of mine. He was somebody that I knew prior to him running for office. And I think that we allow parties to divide us when we need to be focused on the people.
Amazing. Should men marry educated women. Oh, do educated women mate for good wives and good mothers?
It depends on how they're educated. Because if you're getting a woman that's being educated at some of these public institutions right now, maybe not. Because these women don't want you. They don't want their children. They don't want their body parts. So it depends.
So you think that an educated woman can make for a good wife and a mother?
I mean, educated, when you say educated, educated on what? What are you talking about? Because we're talking about America that's full of indoctrination. Like, I've sent two of my daughters to public schools. They're very successful. One is at MIT. Another one is a Howard Law graduate. She's an attorney. She works for World Bank in New York. She does corporate law. But they both believe in abortion. That's not something that I taught in my home. So I may not necessarily agree with some of the ways that, you know, our children or women of today are being educated.
Yeah. Amazing. I got to put you on the hot seat.
I'm used to the hot seat. And I'm raw.
I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Oh, let me ask you first. Do you love all people?
Yeah.
You love all people, even your enemy?
I don't know about that, but whatever. Come on.
You don't know if you love your enemy or not?
I don't know. I don't really have no enemies.
Oh, you don't?
I don't really have no... I mean, I got a couple. But I don't know.
Amazing. Okay.
But I love all people.
You do? Great. So I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
The Hot Seat.
What is a man?
A two-legged human being created by God with a penis and no breasts.
Does white privilege exist?
Yes.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Maybe.
Is the earth flat or round?
I don't know.
Has anyone ever told Harpo to beat you?
Harpo wouldn't dare. I beat Harpo.
Do you keep a bottle of hot sauce in your purse?
Got to. It's election season.
Beyonce or Beyonce or Rihanna?
Jesus.
Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
Yes.
Do we need more white babies?
We need more all babies.
No, do we need more white babies?
We need more all babies.
Do we need more white babies?
I'm going to say we need more black babies, since black babies are the highest number of babies being aborted right now. For anybody that want to go look in New York and New Jersey, more black babies are being aborted than they're actually being born. So I'm going to say we need more black babies, since 20 million black babies have been aborted since the passing of Roe v. Wade. And I'm going to stand on that.
What's wrong with the blacks?
Indoctrinated, victimized.
If Trump is elected this year, should he stay in office forever?
No.
Why not?
He ain't gonna want to stay in office forever. Why would y'all do him like that? These people have tried to kill him 3 times. Like, golly, no.
True or false, sending your kid to a public school is child abuse?
True. Child abuse.
Amazing.
Child abuse. Take your babies out of them schools.
Do you love white people?
Yes. I also love black people.
Did you have fun?
I did.
Thank you for coming on. Amazing. That was amazing. Thanks for taking on the hot seat. Also, I wanted you to tell the people how to get your new book or whatever other information.
Yes. King that you Trump want to put Kennedy, my new book. This is my memoir. Make sure that you pick it up. This is about my work that I've done with these legacies, these three legacies, working with the King family on community restoration, Trump on criminal justice reform, and RF Kennedy on medical apartheid and the black maternal health crisis. You guys can find me at AngelaStantonKing.com. I'm all over X at the Auntie Angie. Head over to AuntieAngie'sHouse.com. Help us defeat the Democrats by saving babies.
Until
next time.
Thank you again for coming on. That was amazing. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe, and support us at thefallenstate.tv/donate or locals.com. Let me hear from you. If you'd like to see someone else on The Fallen State, contact my producer at producer@thefallenstate.tv. Thank you all, and thank you again.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
Awesome.
Nice.